Who are you?
I'm Milin.
Milin
okay. Lele. I'm a PM with Visual Studio Data. And we put together a project system for support of SQL CLR.
Okay.
So hopefully.
SQL CLR. So is that CLR that's going inside UConn?
Yes.
Okay.
So inside SQL 2005, is this live?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We are recording.
Okay. So in SQL 2005, what they did was they added support for writing CLR functions, procedures, triggers in managed languages.
Right.
So for the Microsoft languages, that is VB, C Sharp, and managed C++, we added project system support so that you can not only write them, you can just deploy and debug straight from Visual Studio. So, yeah.
So you work on the Visual Studio team or the CLR team?
Visual Studio team.
The Visual Studio team. So your team is putting Visual Studio support into SQL Server?
No, in Visual Studio. So in Visual Studio, we build a project system type, a project type and item templates when you do add item to project.
For
SQL CLR. And so our team is part of the virtual team that built this. So the VS Data team, the debugger team, VS Core, and of course SQL Server, CLR, etc.
Got it. So what's cool about what you're doing?
So I think what the coolest part about it is the whole end-to-end development process is very nicely integrated. So what I mean by that is in absence of this project system support, I can still create an assembly. I can define attributes on my functions that decorate it and say that, okay, this function is a stored procedure.
Right.
And this function is a user-defined function for, I mean, as far as SQL CLR, SQL Server is concerned.
Right.
And then I can create a T-SQL script, deploy that assembly, register that assembly. I can write all those scripts by hand. I still don't have debugging support, though.
Okay.
What's cool about the project system is you can just create a SQL class library project, add items, say, I want to add a stored procedure. And we add a template for stored procedure, and you can do your code, and then set a breakpoint. When you say five, what happens is the assembly gets built,
okay.
It gets deployed to the server, the objects within the assembly get registered, and because you've set a breakpoint and you're doing an F5, debugging is initiated, and then you're actually doing live debugging against the server. So your assembly is actually stored procedure, function trigger, or even user-defined data type, is running on the server, and you're debugging it directly against the server. That's
really cool. Yeah. Now, is this only working with UConn, or does this work with previous versions?
No, it doesn't, and that's SQL CLR support was introduced in UConn.
Right.
So people had extended stored procedures, so where you could write a DL that sits outside of Visual Studio.
Okay.
And you could call that in. But that was oftentimes cumbersome to do and not always most secure way to do things.
Yeah.
So this is quite a step ahead. Also, this is a lot more performant than extended stored procedures.
Yeah.
T-SQL, of course, remains, because for data access intensive code, T-SQL is probably the way to go. But if you have math intensive computation, and so it's like your trigonometric calculations or statistical calculations, you know, it's best done in CLR, in managed languages.
Right.
The other advantage is, prior to this, you couldn't really define your own data types.
Yeah.
Now you can do that. You can define a class in, let's say, Visual Basic, and that class, it needs to conform to a template, but when it's deployed, it gets registered as a user-defined data type, for example, point. So on a two-dimensional system.
Right. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It is very cool.
What's going to be for a developer who maybe is using SQL Server today, what's going to be the biggest difference when they first get Visual? This is only in WSBI too, right? So you have to have WSBI and SQL Server UConn?
Yes.
Right, so the next version of Visual Studio and the next version of C. So when they get these two loaded up,
yeah,
and they got a weekend free, what's going to be the biggest thing that you want them to check out first?
So as far as the project system is concerned?
You can
play around with your own stored procedures functions, check out how debugging works, and write a small user-defined data type and see where that fits into your overall plan.
Right.
So that's really cool. One of the other things that people often try is try to convert their existing extended stored procedures into managed code and see how that fits in as internal managed project.
Is there a rule in your head of when you should move from stored procedures or T-SQL over to, you said mathematical functions.
Yeah, so if it is...
Are there some other rules or maybe...
So generally...
best of breed ideas, you know, best practices.
Yeah. Generally what the very broad high-level guidance is that, of course, it depends on case to case. But the general guideline is if you have procedures that are data access intensive, it might be more performant to have that in T-SQL. If it is computation intensive, performance is better in managed languages. But performance is not the only criteria. And things like parsing strings, it's so hard to do in T-SQL. Whereas in managed languages, you can use regular expressions, and that works really very, very well. Or you can use one of the cryptographic functions
right.
to encrypt or decrypt, and doing that in T-SQL would be a nightmare. So ease of use is also one of the guiding factors.
Do you have a demo?
Sure.
I'd love to see what you're doing.
So
I don't think most of Channel 9's viewers have actually seen it. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So this would be cool. Actually, what we can do is we can pick, to begin with, a very, very simple user-defined function.
Right.
And what the function does is of less interest at this time. And I would like to show what the project system features are in support of creating similar functions. So first thing you do is add new project. Let's see. So in the project types, there is a new project type, SQL Server project. You have that for VB, C Sharp, and C++.
Right.
Let's say we create one for our set of functions. So as I was saying, one of the interesting things about this is when you press F5, it builds and it deploys the assembly directly to the server. So
right.
when you create a new project, the first thing it asks is for a connection to a server.
Yeah.
So this shows a list of existing connections that I have already, or you can create a new one.
Right.
So I'll just choose the one that I have on my local server.
Okay.
So initially this is just an empty project. I go and I say add item. Now in the add item, as you can see, you have user-defined function, stored procedure, aggregate, trigger, or user-defined type. So let's just choose a user-defined function.
Right.
And call it, I'm just going to create a small function that returns the payment amount given the principal, the rate of interest, and number of payments. Specifically.
Right.
So it creates a template. It adds the necessary references and adds a template for user-defined functions. As you can see, it has an attribute that declares the public shared function payments as the user-defined function.
Right.
But one thing I'd like to point out here is when I added the function,
yep,
a test script folder got created, and there's a SQL script in here, which acts as a test harness for this. So when I do an F5, it's this script that gets executed, which actually calls this function. So let's say in this case, file amount as
food. Come over there.
Do you need to move the...
Nope.
So you're just typing code here for...
These are the parameters that one would enter that gets get passed into the payments function.
Okay.
The number of payments per period as equal... It returns so
if you can explain what you're doing while you're typing, it helps.
So I'm just, in this case, I'm just calling a simple function that you pass in the principal, you pass in the APR, the rate of interest, and the number of payments, and it returns you the payment that you get. So this is, I'm just taking this as an example of a computation-intensive function that one would write. So, beyond that. And pass in the rate of interest, pass in the number of payments, and pass in the value. Okay. So, for the sake of convenience, I've just taken a simple example. A couple of things I would like to show is when I do add reference the way I would do it for other projects, I can add references to assemblies not only within my solution, that is project-to-project references within my solution. I can also add references to assemblies that are already deployed on a server. Meaning, if I have a math library that I've created as a SQL CLR project, and none of the functions are really exposed as stored procedures functions or user-defined data types from that assembly, but it's just a helper assembly that other assemblies can use. VCISV is doing that going forward too. So one could have that assembly deployed to the server. And as I'm creating my set of user-defined functions or stored procedures, I need to make references to, or I need to call those math library functions from that assembly. What I can do is do add reference, and the add references dialog comes up. You might notice that the dialog is slightly modified because this is a SQL CLR project, and I can see project-to-project references, references to other projects within my solution, or assemblies that I can reference from the from SQL Server, which means that if I were to select any one of them and click OK, what would happen is we would download the assembly just for compile time, and that I can use as a reference within my within my project. So in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to set a breakpoint. F9, and before I hit F5, I need to go and modify my test harness. In this case, I need to pass in the amount, the rate of interest, and the number of payments. So let's say it's a $20,000 loan with 6% rate of interest, and it's a 5-year loan. So I hit F5. As you can see here, it's building the project. Once it finishes building the project, it deploys the assembly onto the server. One thing that is interesting is, along with the assembly itself, we also deploy the PDB and the associated source files to the server. There's a project properties option where you can turn that off, but by default for a debug version of the assembly, we deploy the PDB as well as the source file, and that helps us debug. That also helps users browse and navigate the code on the server. So there you go. We've hit the breakpoint. This assembly is actually running on the server. What happened was the test harness, this T-SQL statement got called, and we are calling into the function with the amount, 20,000, 6% rate of interest, and 60. So if I hit F10, it might be in $386. I hit F5 to continue, and we see the result.
Very cool.
So this was a fairly simple. A couple of things in addition to just building this is you can now view these objects that get deployed in your Server Explorer. For example, here I would see my payment. That's it. Now, if I could close this, and if I double click, it brings up the source from the server directly. We also have an assemblies folder that lists all the assemblies that are visible to that user and what is contained in that assembly. Let me expand this. So it has the sources, the resources, and the objects that are contained in here, which is in this case one function. Now I could go back to my and now this was, in this case, it was just a simple example. I could use something more complicated like encrypting a string.
With these new snippet features.
With these new snippet features, exactly. So this obviously uses the crypto API, and I can use this for encrypting data, decrypting data on the server without any of that being public. So like I mentioned, this would be really, really very hard to do in SQL. You need to use an extended stored procedure or do it the hard way.
Yeah.
So in this case, I just use a snippet feature, encrypt the data, and I'm on my way. So that makes it really simple.
That's really neat stuff.
It is.
It's that simple, huh? Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's pretty cool stuff that you've been working on.
Yeah.
Anything else that you have to show me? Or?
There are. So that's actually...
Anything else people should know about?
So what I was showing a moment ago is functions and stored procedures. You can put a breakpoint in there, say F5, and run. A couple of other cases, which is triggers and user-defined data types, you can't really run a trigger or a user-defined data type. These get run in response to other events, external events. For example, if I have a trigger that is activated, if I insert something, it's an insert trigger on an insert statement, then that trigger would be called when I insert data into a table. Now, another neat feature of the project system is you can define pre- and post-deploy scripts. These are essentially SQL scripts. And the intention behind these scripts is if you need to do any initialization work before the assembly gets deployed, typically this is used for user-defined data types where you need to initialize your tables before you deploy the assembly. And when you after you deploy, you might need to fill in some test data. So that's the so we have pre-deploy scripts, deployment itself, post-deploy scripts, and then the test harness, which we just saw, test.sql. So what happens is in that case, when I hit F5, the pre-deploy scripts get executed. It's just straight SQL. The assembly gets deployed and registered. The post-deploy script gets executed, and then the test.sql script gets run so that you can, that gets run as a test harness so that you can test your code.
Very cool. Thanks for taking some time to show me.
No problem. This is very exciting. Yeah.
It's really neat. It shows some of the advantages of having a CLR embedded in SQL and Visual Studio talking to SQL Server team. So, great job. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.